Warm greetings to everyone in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles turned to Galatians chapter 4. This book has only one main theme and thrust. It is to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ and to restore the faith of some of the believers who have been duped and deceived by the false teachers that have crept into these churches in the province of Galatia. And this morning we shall focus on the topic, become an enemy because of truth. An enemy is a person who has no love for you. He is destructive. If he has been given an opportunity, he will bring you down. He will destroy you. He will destroy not only you, but also what you do or may want to do. He is filled with hatred and anger, and he can even be very spiteful. And he will spread falsehood against you so that not only themselves, but more and more people will dissociate themselves from you so that you will live the life of one who has been ostracized. So that's an enemy. And we know that in life, we face many enemies. No one can live on this earth without an enemy, even though many may have tried. And as man pleases, they try to be friendly with everyone. But these people are people with no convictions. And so we have to know that enemies are real, and they will come. But it is always painful to have enemies. Especially enemies that we know, especially enemies that we have an affection for, because they were once upon a time not our enemies, but now they have become an enemy. It could be between a parent and child. When a child becomes a Christian because of truth, you go back home and you share this good news with your parents who are not believers. And they can become so incensed, so angry with you, that they might regard you now like an enemy. They might do all kinds of things. They might say definitely many, many things that will hurt you, threaten you. And they might even want to persecute you and drive you out of the house. And it hurts. Especially when you love them. And you still love them. But now they might regard you as their enemy because of Jesus Christ. But that is not the context of Galatians chapter 4, verse 14 to verse 16. Paul did not say what he said in Galatians 4 because he was their father and they were his children in the physical, literal sense. Spiritually speaking, perhaps. But it is the context of a church. Like our context in the church. Do you know of people whom you had an affection for or a relationship with in the past, who have now become your enemies? I'm sure as you grow older and older, your answer will be a resounding yes. Not just one enemy, but perhaps a number of enemies. We're not just simply referring to any kind of enemies. Only one type, according to this passage, because of the truth. Now we know the Bible tells us that it is to be a good friend to one another. And faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So we have to tell the truth. And if the truth hurts, the risk of losing a friend, not just losing a friend, but turning so-called friend into an enemy is very real. Now if the person is teachable, spiritual, and godly, and he will recognize the truth for what it is, he will not turn you into his enemy. Because to be an enemy of someone doesn't have to be like two hands when you clap before it makes a sound. When you speak the truth to that person, it is out of love, genuine care and concern. You have no intention to turn this person into an enemy. Because you understand from God's word, if I keep silent, then I am indeed your enemy. Knowing that you are in sin, you are doing something wrong, you're holding on to an erroneous doctrine, and I keep quiet and continue to let you hold on to this erroneous doctrine and continue to live in sin, marring the name of Jesus Christ and hurting yourself and the people around you because of your sinful ways and your erroneous teaching. If I were to keep quiet and see all these things about you, God says, then I am an enemy to you. But when I point out all these transgressions and errors in your teaching and in your life, and then you turn around and you get angry and upset, and then you begin to justify everything that you now teach and do in life, and you refuse to change. In fact, you turn this scenario around, and then I now become your enemy. You become very spiteful, angry, and you want to hurt and destroy my life, my name, my ministry. This was how the Apostle Paul felt. Now notice that this was a question. He did not end this with a full stop. It was a question that he felt in his heart. Because the false teachers have succeeded very, very effectively, perhaps in turning the hearts and minds of quite a number of people in the churches in this province. That they now look toward the Apostle Paul as if he was an enemy. And they might have joined the false teachers in destroying his good name, in neutralizing his effort and his work, and they begin to blacklist him, badmouth him, saying all kinds of things to diminish him, not only in their own estimation, but hopefully to draw in more and more disciples and become enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as they are an enemy of the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul felt it. And I'm sure some of you may have felt it too. When you left Calvary Jurong to form this church, I'm sure many of the people that you left behind, they were not very nice and they were not happy with you for telling them the truth that their position on the Bible with mistakes was erroneous. And we know from our recent past that those who believe the Bible has mistakes, and when we tell them otherwise, or when we correct them, their anger is real. Their threats are not merely threats. IPBC was taken to court because of this. They have now regarded us as not only enemies, but heretics. Their intent was to destroy the college and everything that we stand for. All because we tell them the truth that the Bible is perfect. That is always a price that we will have to pay when we hold on to truth in the devil's domain. And we have to be prepared for that. But is the Galatia of, it's the province of Galatia where these churches were located. Is it the devil's domain? We expect the devil's domain to be outside the church, isn't it? We do not expect them to be inside the church. And that's why the Apostle Paul posed this question. Because he felt as if he had become their enemy for telling them the truth. And yet it must still be done. That's why sometimes, for the sake of truth, you must be prepared to live a life of loneliness. You do not want it, you do not desire it, but it can happen. Will you hold on to lies and shut your mouth and not tell the truth? So that you will hold on to your relationships? You think it is worth it? Or are you prepared to tell the truth and take the risk of loneliness? Trusting in the Lord to always do what is best for you, and if it is loneliness where all those people whom you thought were very, very good friends are no longer friend at all. Don't talk about good friends. Are you prepared? So you may ask yourself, well, maybe the fellowship and the relationship Paul had with them may not be that close, and that's why it was so easy to become enemies when the relationship is not close. You are right, I agree with you. If the relationship is merely one of an acquaintance, now I do not know most of you. I do not stay behind, we do not have any fellowship. I know some of your leaders better than you because of our closer interaction due to our ministry. And for some of you who are older, I knew you when you were in Calgary Jurong. But the younger ones, many of you, I do not know. I have no interaction, no fellowship. And if one day we become enemies because I tell you the truth, I would not be surprised nor shocked if that ever happens. Was that the relationship Paul had with them? That he asked this question in verse 16, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? When you look at verse 14, we notice that it was not like that. So what kind of relationship Paul had with them once upon a time? Verse 14 describes a relationship that I would call the highest honor. They had the highest respect for him. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despise not. When the Apostle Paul had to endure so many trials, when he visited these cities during his first missionary journey with Barnabas, they encountered a lot of resistance, persecutors. And the Christians from these cities who came to know Christ through the gospel Paul and Barnabas preached, they knew of his trials. And the Apostle Paul says they did not despise it, they did not distance themselves from him, from them. Because if you see that by becoming a Christian, by preaching the gospel, you get hurt, you get persecuted, many people will despise that by separating themselves from these individuals, just to keep yourself safe. I mean, that's what we always do, that's what we have to do. I mean, if you want to hang around with people who are terrorists, you promote their writing, you associate yourself with them, and when the authorities find out, even though you do not carry any item that may hurt anyone, you have a very stable job, you have never committed any crime, and the government had always seen you as a good citizen. But the moment they found out that you have such an association, do you think they're going to do something or nothing? I'm sure you know the answer. Association is very, very important in our day-to-day life experiences. In the spiritual realm, it's the same. That's why they say sometimes you can know the person by the enemies that he has. Or sometimes you can know the person by the friends that he has, right? Which is true. If the devil were to pat you on the back, say nice things about you, you better be careful. The devil says nice things about you, that means you are probably doing things that he approves of. But if the devil hates you, you know that you are doing something that he despises, right? And so when the Apostle Paul suffered persecution, They did not despise him. They did not reject him. They believe in his teaching. They identify themselves with him. They have no problem telling people, I know the Apostle Paul. I believe in the gospel that he preached. I accepted his teaching concerning God's love for me in Christ Jesus. And so they were prepared to identify themselves with him once upon a time. How close was this association and identification? Well, not only did they not reject him, not only did they not despise him and separated themselves from him, the Apostle Paul shared, he must have experienced it when he was there. Remember in the book of Acts, he traveled one direction, and then at the end of it, he traveled back in the same direction. That means he revisited these churches, and the book of Acts tells us that he appointed elders, leaders, to look after these churches before he and Barnabas returned to Antioch, the sending church, the mother church who sent them as their first missionary journey. On their first missionary journey. And he said, ye receive me, as an angel of God, as someone sent by God. That means they loved his truth. They loved him. They do not just simply regard him as a mortal. They were so enamored with him because of the truth that the Apostle Paul preached and taught. That they elevated him above humanity. Angel of God, someone sent from heaven to us. That is a very high honor, do you not agree? That they look at you not just simply as a pastor, but as a messenger of God because of his ability to explain the word of God. And I'm sure if you were in the shoes of these Galatians, when the Apostle Paul arrived during the first missionary journey, and then you saw how he preached the word of God, how he explained the word of God, how he made the word of God so wonderfully, so tremendously delightful. Come alive. And then he suffered persecution for that, to show how much he loved them. To suffer persecution to strangers whom he did not know until after they heard the gospel, after they sat at his feet, after they learned more and more of God's truth, and then they developed a bond whereby they looked to him as if he was a messenger from God himself, and not only just a messenger, but Jesus Christ himself. Lord, Savior, Master, Redeemer. Of course, this is not idolatry, but this is how some people can elevate other people whom they are really, really very, very grateful to. I mean, can you blame them? I don't. Do you remember the person whom God used to share with you the gospel that resulted in your salvation? Do you think you will ever forget that person? Do you, and would you agree with me that there is always one warm heart, warm feeling in your heart for that individual? I will always have this warm feeling for my classmate. He was the architect whom the church appointed to do this sanctuary, this renovation. My classmate. He was the one, together with some others who have been praying for my salvation for a long time. I did not know that until after I was born again. And he was the one that the Lord introduced into my life. One weekend when I was, on Sunday, I was on my way to watch a movie. I was in second year architecture. And it was at the same bus stop that he was standing and waiting to take another bus, to go to church. And in those days, buses were not air-conditioned. The windows were open. And so he was right in front of me. I was seated up on top of the bus. I looked down on him and I asked him, where are you going? To church. I say, what for? And then the bus zoomed off. And that was it. And I went to the movies and so on. But by God's appointment, 6 days later, Saturday in the morning, I called him up. Is it okay if I follow you to church? What caused me to change? Long history. Because about a year ago, when I went to sleep, I had an excruciating headache. I did not know what caused it. And then I just prayed to God, Lord, if you take away the pain from my head, I will go to church. And so immediately the pain was gone. I had a good sleep for the rest of the night. Then when I woke up, I still remember my promise, but I ignored it and I did not want to go to church. And about a year later, after that incident at the bus stop, during the course of this week, on Friday of that week, I went to sleep, the excruciating pain came back. And again I prayed, and I promised the same thing. I'll go to church, Lord, if you take away the pain. And the pain went, a good night rest, and I woke up. I remembered what I promised, and this time I was so scared. That's why I called up my friend, is it okay if I join you to church? Because I made a promise. I didn't do it a year ago, but this time I did it. And so, I went to church. Then he told me, you know where to wait for me, right? I said, yeah, I know. That bus stop, right? I said, yeah. And so, the bus stop was just outside Pei Hwa School. No, Pei Hwa Primary School. The time that road in front was two-way. Now it's one-way. And so, I met him there. And that morning, at the end of the service, he shared with me the gospel, and he prayed the prayer of salvation, and he led me to Christ. The burden that I had in my heart, literally, lifted. I was walking on air, literally. He just told me some very basic instruction. From now onwards, before you eat your meals, you must pray, and you must end your prayer in Jesus' name. And you must now attend church every Lord's Day. And that's it. Very simple, very basic. Then I went to the bus stop. I took a bus home on my own. But as I was walking out of the church toward the bus stop, literally, I look at the world. I felt as if I was walking on air. And I look at the world in a way that I've never seen it before. The world has not changed. But something has changed inside. And then slowly but surely, my ambitions to finish my studies and work hard and earn lots of money evaporated by the time I was about to graduate. And I just simply asked the Lord and said to the Lord, Lord, if it is your will that you want me to go full time, I'm prepared, but please let me work for 3 years. And the reason was to work for 3 years so that I can pay for the school fees of my siblings, my younger brothers and sisters, just as my older siblings work hard and pay for my school fees, because we don't have money. So they work hard, they give money to my mom pay for my school fees. So I said to the Lord, let me work for 3 years to do the same for my siblings. And true enough, the Lord called me into full-time ministries. 3.5 years of working life. I spent half a year struggling with God and not wanting to surrender. If I surrender right there and then, it would be exactly 3 years. So the Lord heard, the Lord answered. So am I grateful to my friend who led me to Christ? Yes. It was from my previous church, even though the church is gone. No more conservative, it's liberal now. Modernist, in fact, charismatic-like. But I always have a warm feeling for how the Lord used him to lead me to Christ. I'll never forget his name. How much more the Apostle Paul, whom the people in the churches, in these provinces, in these cities, saw how he suffered. He endured the pain, the shame, just to bring them the gospel. That's why they have such a high regard, such a high honor, regarded him as an angel of God, even as the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because they heard the words of the Apostle Paul, which was basically the word of Christ. It's the Apostle Paul standing there. It may be the voice of the Apostle Paul, but the words are the Lord Jesus Christ himself. They elevated him to a position of Christ. And then the whole thing came crashing down. Something happened after his departure. The false teachers crept in. And then they held on to this another gospel that could not save. And then when Paul wrote to them and told them the truth, somehow these false teachers may have maligned the Apostle Paul so badly that now the Apostle Paul wanted to tell them the truth. They did not want to believe Paul. They did not want to take his side. And now they even regarded him as if he was an enemy. And I'm sure it hurts. Paul never sought to have such high honor from them when they look at him. And you can't stop people, right? Can you stop them regarding the Apostle Paul as an angel of God? You can't. You can't stop them even when they regarded him as if he was Jesus Christ standing there in their midst. Because of the amazing teaching, and the people just listen and listen, and then their mind continued to be illuminated, and their hearts felt so strangely warm. And when they hear the truth of God can really, really change a person from inside. Have you ever had that kind of experience when you listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God becomes so precious to you, and the more you listen, the more you want? It's never enough. You want more and more and more of God's Word. When you listen to the lecturer or the preacher or the teacher teaches, your heart is warm, and you feel so happy and so thrilled within your soul, because it is so delicious, it is so sweet, it is the very Word of God. And when these people whom God used to give you such amazing experiences in your heart, in your life, to them, they regarded him as such, an angel of God, even as if he was the Lord himself. They really meant it. Paul experienced it. And now all came crashing down. And all because Paul told them the truth, which they did not like. They liked the truth in the past, but now they did not like the truth anymore, because they have embraced the false teachers and their false teaching. Would you do that? That is the danger and the problem, isn't it? When you look up to certain individuals in such a manner, the danger is there. I'm sure the Apostle Paul never sought to be viewed and to be seen in such a manner when he just simply wanted to teach them and fed them with God's truth. That's all he wanted to do. This kind of high honor or highest honor, right? Highest honor that you could ever, ever attribute to someone. Paul never sought for them. But that's how they regarded him. That's how he felt from them. And he was with them, perhaps. And maybe because of what they have done, and maybe because of what they have said, he truly felt it. And so it was a relationship that I'm sure was very precious to Paul. And perhaps he might even thought that such a relationship will never, never be diminished, and definitely could not be broken, right? I mean, to be elevated to the position of an angel of God, even as the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, I'm sure you would agree with me if you were to say to the Apostle Paul, not even in his wildest dream that he could ever, ever think that these people in the churches in the province of Galatia, whom he had such a wonderful experience with, where they regarded him so highly, could it all one day ever come crashing down? I'm sure he never expected it. And perhaps because it had happened, or maybe he thought that it had happened, then must have been so tragic and must have been so devastating to him. Have you not had friends that you've known for 20, 30 years? Of course, not for the young people, but you're not even 20, 30 years old, right? I'm speaking to people who have had such relationship in the church. Now, we're talking about in the church, where you prayed together, fought the battle together in your previous church, struggled together, wept together, laughed together, even went on holidays together as families. Now, we're not talking about any transgression or any sin. We're not talking about the truth, where one party tells the truth to you and about yourself that you do not like. How would you react and respond? For me, I have had such experiences. People that I have known for 20, 30 years, in this, not in this, I mean in Pandan. Literally what I shared, pray together, struggle together, laugh together, had meals together, and in some instances even went on holidays together, family with family. And then because of the truth, the relationship soured to the point of strangers and perhaps even vehement enemies. So much so that we are definitely no longer on talking terms. So much so that even when we meet at the vigil services of some of our common friends, there is not even a simple greeting, not even a hello. After 20 over years of togetherness in the same church, and I thought we were close. I thought that when the truth was told, whether it is the discipline of the children or the discipline of the father, the mother, which we have to do, especially as leaders, and not to do it would be exactly what the Bible says. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. And if you were to turn a blind eye, as if I do not see the transgressions that you have committed, then I become a partaker of your transgression, especially after you continue to commit the sin after we have known it. And then because we spoke the truth and we have to carry out the action of admonishment, rebuke, and sometimes a far more serious discipline, they left. They got so angry. And so I sit back and I reflect upon the past 20 plus years. Have they all been one big, gigantic, you know, it's a mirage? You know, mirage are those, you know, when you're in a hot desert and you're so thirsty, and then you look into the horizon and you thought, hey, I thought I could see a pool of water there. And then you run and then you walk or you crawl, and then the moment you go toward it, there's no water. Have all these memories and experiences that we had together, the laughter, the struggle, the prayer, the fellowship, all these things, are they real? Or are they just simply a mirage, superficial, skin deep, that by telling you the truth, that you and I have now become enemies? So I understand. Of course, they never elevated me to the position of such. I still remember some of our members. They were from other denominations. And then they first heard the truth. We preached them the truth, taught them the truth, and they were so enamored, they were so appreciative, so thankful. And then years later, after they transferred membership, fellowship together some more, but something happened. So much so that now may not be enemies, but definitely strangers. It's as if all those years have not been real. What the Apostle Paul wrote here is very true. Not just the highest honor. You look at verse 15, the closest bond. It's one thing to have people who look up to you in such a fashion. But in verse 15, it described the sacrifice of these people, what they were prepared to do for the Apostle Paul. And now they regarded him as an enemy. You see the night and day contrast between these couple of verses, 15 and 16. Where is then the blessedness he spoke of? They even said that to him. What did they say to him? For I bear you record. Alright? This is a reminder. I heard it and now I am telling you, repeating what I have experienced, what I have heard from you guys. That if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes. Both are plural. Not just the right eye. Right in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ says, it is better to lose your right eye than to have the whole body being cast into hell. That pertains to salvation. Now, you know the right eye. Most people are right-handed. to pluck out your right eye means you basically become someone who is defenseless. You can't fire or shoot an arrow if you're right-handed and your right eye is blind. It means you can't protect your family using all the weapons of war. When you're in the fight, you carry a shield. The shield is to protect your body, your left eye, so that your right eye can see because you're right-handed. But if your right eye is blind, your shield is down, you are exposed. You cannot fight properly, you cannot defend yourself and your family, and definitely not your country. And Jesus says it's better to be rendered practically helpless and useless by losing a right eye than to have your whole body fooled and be cast into hell. Paul is not talking about the right eye, he's talking about plural, both eyes. That means be completely blinded. They were prepared to blind themselves because of the bond, the gratitude, the devotion. Dare I use the word love? That they had for him? That's what it meant, isn't it? That you were prepared to pluck out your own eyes and have given them to me. In other words, if Paul was blind, they were prepared to give up their sight and to give it to him so that he could see. That's how close they were. Not only did they have the highest regard for him, but they also have the closest bond with him. You ever heard of someone in your church where they are prepared to be so close to you, so sacrificial in their help toward you, that if they see that you are blinded, they are prepared to go to the eye surgeon, I'm prepared to give up both my sight to my friend so that I will be blind, he will see. We're not talking about a parent for a child. Parent for a child, we can understand. That's how parents usually feel. Of course, it's not possible, but that's their feeling. If only, Lord, if only, let me be the one who is blinded. Let me be the one who is sick, not my child. You know that kind of feeling? From a parent to a child, we all, as parents, we understand. But we're not talking about parent and child. We're talking about Christian brethren. That's how close they were. That's how sacrificial they were toward the Apostle Paul. And all these things suddenly just disappeared. Because of the false gospel. Because of the false teachers that have crept in. And what they have done to them. That they now regarded someone whom they loved dearly once upon a time, that they elevated him to the position of Jesus himself. Where they prepared to sacrifice their own sight. And now, they vitriolized him. They were angry with him. They have no more feelings and emotions for him, and they don't even, might even want to destroy him. Because that's an enemy, isn't it? Two things we need to learn, isn't it? From this passage of the Apostle Paul. Number one, if such an experience ever happened to you, you're going to have a broken heart. You're going to feel very, very hurt and discouraged because you told the truth. But know that you are not alone. Know that the Apostle Paul had also experienced and endured this. But above all else, know that your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, endured it the worst. He told them the truth, that he was the Son of God, and for that truth they crucified him. Right? He told them the truth, that they became his enemies. He came to save them. He came down from heaven to die for them, to show them God's love. And what did they do to him? They persecuted him and they crucified him for telling them the truth. Jesus indeed became the enemy of the world. For the Apostle Paul, he became the enemy because he wanted the best for them. To help them to reject the false gospel that the false teachers had taught them. That they should hold on to the gospel that they once believed in. But somehow the false teachers not only fed them the false gospel, they tried their best to destroy and assassinate the character of the Apostle Paul in the process. So much so that not only perhaps they have a low view of Paul's gospel, which did not include the good works of the Old Testament faith. Believe in Jesus Christ plus circumcision. Believe in Jesus Christ plus keeping the Passover, plus keeping the feast, plus a lot of Christian Old Testament activities. And they also brought down the image, the reputation of the Apostle Paul in the process. And that's how the Apostle Paul felt. And if it ever happened to you, you will feel discouraged. You will feel the pain and the hurt. We know that. But you must not allow yourself to remain there and to avoid relationships with people. You must continue to have relationships. There's nothing wrong with such relationship where you share the gospel, you tell the truth, and the people are so grateful and so thankful, and they might regard you the same way that they regarded him here. Messenger and angel of God, even as if Jesus Christ is standing in their midst, because of the amazing ability that you possess from God to preach and teach and make the word of God come alive. And people are grateful, people are thankful, and straight away they elevate you, even though you never sought for it at all. But that's how they regarded him. I'm sure the Apostle Paul would never seek such things, but that's what they did. And you can't stop people for having such a high attitude, valuation of you, because they are really grateful and thankful to be taught the lies out there, and then suddenly to be taught the truth. They are really sincerely grateful and thankful to be delivered, and the Lord used you to help them, to deliver them from the bondage of error and sin, and their whole lives could have been ruined if not for you being sent by God to tell them the truth, so that they can now live their life correctly in holiness according to scripture, and they are grateful. And there may be people who are prepared to sacrifice anything and everything for you. But then everything can just simply come down. Because sometime down the road, some friends, some people, either under the guise of Bible study together, they eat together, they fellowship together, and they start to spread lies. And little by little, the estimation of the people that they had for you begin to go lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. And then before you know it, these people whom you thought you were on very good terms with are the ones that have been spreading a lot of falsehood about you. And you know there is nothing you can do, because you try to talk to them, try to explain and clarify whether such things are true or not. They just simply do not want to communicate. What can you do? You just simply have to accept it. But the danger is we shy away. We distance ourselves because nobody wants to have this kind of pain and hurt. It's painful. Emotional pain is the worst kind of pain, other than spiritual. To think that these were your friends, true brothers and sisters in Christ, but in reality, it was a mirage, not real. Because if it is real, when you tell them the truth, they should be thankful, they should be appreciative, isn't it, if it is real? And they will not be so quick to listen to the slanders of people, but they will come to you to clarify and to see whether it is true, rather than just simply believe what they say about you without checking. The second thing to learn is do not look to men in such a manner and elevate them to the position of an angel of God or even the Lord Jesus Christ, because man is not. We are all just simply broken instrument in the master's hand. All we see the master's hand and not the broken instrument, as if the broken instrument is the one who has given you the truth and opened your spiritual eyes. It is the master, not the instrument. The master himself. And when people look at you in this manner, don't you dare believe it. You cannot stop people from elevating you to the position like this. Just like David could not stop the women singing songs, praising as if he really killed tens of thousands. David never composed that song. But they sang it anyway because they were so grateful and thankful for David destroying and killing Goliath. And then he became a very, very faithful and brave soldier in King Saul's army. And so his reputation spread, and they liked him. And so they composed such a wonderful song in praise of him. If you are used by the Lord, like the Apostle Paul have been used by God, and people will elevate you and praise you, don't you for one moment believe all this, so that you will not allow your head to swell. Because when that happens, you're not going to tell the truth. Because you do not want these people who elevate you to such a position and you deliciously drinking all these praises of men. You're not going to tell the truth because you don't want to take the risk of losing all these high praise from men. And that's why you are not doing these servants of God any favor by elevating them to such a height. Thank God the Apostle Paul did not believe in them. He remained very, very firmly rooted as he served the Lord in all humility. The Apostle Paul understood that only when he was weak, then only could he be strong. He had been blessed by God with so many special privileges in the spiritual realm, including being caught up in spirit into the third heaven. And that's why the Lord put a thorn on his side to keep him humble, so that he will never allow the pride of life to destroy his ministry. The pride of life is real. The thorn on the side is necessary and needful so that Paul will constantly lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not on his own wisdom or himself. So bear that in mind. Do not elevate the person so that when the person tells you the truth, you will not reject it. And the person himself will not stop telling you the truth because you want such a friend. You want such a keeper because we all make mistakes. And sometimes when we are so steep and deep in our own sin and our own mistakes, we can't see that we are in sin. Just like David tried so hard to cover up his adulterous relationship with Bathsheba because he wanted the whole nation of Israel to see him as a very good and godly king. How could you already have 8 wives, you want to have another one and somebody else's wife, and then you kill the husband in the process? And so he covered everything. I mean, you think he did not know that it was wrong to commit adultery? I'm sure he knew, but once you are in the thick of it, in the midst of it, and you are so obsessed with covering it up, you just simply ignore what you know to be the truth. And you will probably make excuses to justify your deliberate ignorance until the Lord sends someone like Nathan to rebuke him. And then suddenly he realizes, I have sinned. You need truly born again brothers and sisters in Christ to tell you the truth. And when you elevate him to such a position and he believes in it, about all this about himself, you're not helping him. Because he might want to protect this high estimation that you have put onto him by keeping the truth from you, because he may not want to lose it just in case. Because by telling the truth, he could very well have become your enemy, and therefore, straight away, this high regard and high honors and high accolades suddenly disappear. So please be very careful when these things happen. Expect it. Hurt by it? Sure. We are humans. We feel disappointed, definitely. But don't stop yourself from building close bonds and relationship with people because of this, which is what I'm afraid of. I'm sharing with you what I'm feeling because I've been hurt so many times, so much so that I'm now scared, I'm wary of getting close to people in the church, especially from Pandan, for fear of this kind of feelings again. By telling the truth as a pastor, I see your son doing something wrong, I go to admonish, I go to chastise. You see your daughter do something wrong, I got to do it. But then you know parent may protect the child, or even the father. I have to do it. But then if I do it, we become enemies. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? And so if I were to keep everyone at arm's length, then when I go around telling the truth, I don't have to experience the disappointment and the pain. I know it is not the right thing to do, but it is a struggle, not wanting to keep close to anyone for fear of this. That's why sometimes I stay from the pulpit. You know, as a pastor, it's very hard to have friends. Very difficult, because everyone is a member of the congregation where I have to feed them, nurture them, protect them, and look after them, and at times even admonish them. Easier to have members than a friend. But we all need friends. And bear in mind, don't elevate anyone to such a height. Do it for Jesus' sake. And once it is for Jesus' sake, be thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be grateful and thankful to these people, by all means, please. But never, never elevate them to the position as what the Apostle Paul shared, even as Jesus Christ. That's very close to idolatry, isn't it? And that's why the Apostle Paul said, am I now your enemy because I tell you the truth? But we have to keep telling each other the truth, isn't it? To help one another along the pathway that will lead to the narrow gate and everlasting life. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O God, out of thy holy word, that we may all truly learn how to love and care and appreciate one another in Christ Jesus. For we know that you have brought us together in Truth BP Church, not by accident, not by chance, and definitely not even by the will of man, but by thy sovereign hand and thy sovereign will and appointment. And you allow all the lives of all your people here this afternoon to intertwine, not just to intersect, that they may truly love and care for one another in Christ Jesus. So much so that when truth is shared with one another, even when the truth hurts, they will not become enemies, but they will be grateful and they will be thankful. For truly, we all need such close brothers and sisters in Christ in this sin-filled world. For faithful are the wounds of a friend. May this be our heart's cry and our heart's desire for ourselves and for others. And help us, O Lord, not to be discouraged, that even when we tell the truth and the truth has made us enemies, may we never stop sharing and telling the truth to help others out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ and for them, even if it means being hurt emotionally, mentally, because of our love and care for these people, that we want the best for them, but they have in turn become our enemies. For Jesus' sake, for truth's sake, we pray, Lord, that you will protect and defend this church against the wiles of the devil, both from within and without, that this church will truly be a place where brothers and sisters in Christ truly love one another, and this love is always based upon thy truth and their care for one another. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.